Welcome back to another episode of Guess Who's Back in the Motherfucking House with a fat dick for your motherfucking mouth, nigga. Hey, guys.
Hello, world. It's your favorite love doctor, Penrose Eames, host of Penrose vs. Anybody. You can catch me every Monday with my little brother and everybody's favorite big cousin, There Go BJ, dropping a brand new episode where we hope you learn, laugh, and at the same time, possibly get offended. But right now, right here, right today, this shit here, nigga, you with my brother, my nigga, my motherfucker, John, and the John Effect Podcast. Get some straightening about yourself, New Yorker.
Very pleasant good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
It is now time.
The one and only. There never will be another.
You are listening to the John Effect Podcast. This is episode 194. New listeners, welcome. Returning listeners, welcome back. I am your host, John Salvatore Cruz, a.k.a. Cuban Roast in the Flesh, the podcast quarterback, the Dell Cashflow, the Latino Chris Evans on these hoes, the young OG, Cheekbone Jones, Three Button Poppy, Bro Livia Pope, the podcast it boy, the podcast supreme, BKA, being hot get you the MVP, staying hot get you the Hall of Fame. I am back in the place to be. Let's get some housekeeping out of the way. Yes, nigga, if you're listening to this episode, you obviously know I have been drinking. I have been drinking. So make sure that you follow my hijinks on Twitter at The John Effect. That's TheJohnEffect. Make sure when you listen to this raggedy ass podcast, you are using the official hashtag PodQB. Also, when you see the links on your timeline, please, please, please make sure that you are retweeting those. Traction is the name of the game, and I'm all about having new listeners, because you guys know what it is. So for my podcast users out there that listen on Apple Podcasts, make sure that you subscribe. Make sure that you are rating the show. Make sure that you are writing a review. And when you write a review, scream at the kid and let me know so I can make sure that I shout you out and read your review online. For my Twitter users, I'm drunk, nigga. For my SoundCloud users out there, if you have not followed the SoundCloud page, now is the perfect time to follow the SoundCloud page. Also, remember, the show is on Google Podcast. So if you're a Google user and Apple's not your thing, that's okay. You can listen to this gay-ass podcast on Google Podcast. It's also on Stitcher. I believe it's on Acast as well as Overcast. And if you want to write into the show, you can write into the show at the John Effect Podcast on gmail.com. Do not hesitate. Send me some feedback if you want me to talk about a certain topic or you want me to, you know, read your feedback. I'm open to it. I'm that nigga that is open to collaboration. Again, if it makes sense. So if you want me to talk about something, shoot an email. I will shout you out. You know, if you have questions, sometimes I give advice. I feel like I give good advice. I feel like I've been on this planet for 37 years, so I've lived a good portion of life. So if you want advice, again, shout me out, send an email, you know, I'll read it on the air. So let's get into some podcast recommendations. I'm a broken record when it comes to recommendations for podcasts, but whatever, I can do whatever I want on my platform. And the John Effect Podcast is my platform, so I'm going to continue to do what I've been doing for 194 episodes for the last 4.5 years. Make sure you're checking out these dope-ass podcasts. I cannot stress enough how much these podcasts are important to this landscape. Make sure you're checking out the Podcast Brothers. Make sure you're checking out the Zoview podcast. Make sure you're checking out my man's Jay from Just Say Words. And of course, make sure you're checking out the People's Champions, the Officially Street podcast. Personal effects, no personal effects for this week. I will say this, if you have not registered to vote, if you still have time, make sure that you register to vote. Make sure that when it's time to vote, go out there and vote. It's super duper important. Like, I know I don't get political on this show because this is not the forum for it. I'm not Shane of Midwest Podcast. If that's your thing and you're into politics, check that show out. But I'm not that. I'm not them. But I'm going to say this because we have to stand for something and we have to make a change. So again, make sure that you are voting and make sure that you know that your vote counts. Personal effects? I'm drunk. Whatever. You niggas know how. And Justin, you guys know how I am when I get on this mic. God is good all the time. I am so blessed and so thankful. This pandemic is crazy, but, you know, still I rise. I'm going to freshen up this cocktail, and I'll catch you guys right after the flippy. Jimmy Neutron, I'm a young boy genius. On a futon, I'ma give it that penis. When it's just done, I'ma fill up arenas. Ooh, like Gilbert Arenas. Shoot my shot, I'm still with the demons. Ooh, I keep it thorough. I got 5 chicks in New York, that means 1 in each borough. I'm in the pocket like Burrow. When I'm back home, no, they treat me like Robert De Niro. Took her to Taco Bell, bought her a churro. Took her home, gave her a cinnamon swirl. I left it in, now I got a 1 euro. Zeros on zeros on zeros. That's what my bank account balance say. I got a check from a shoe company, now I do anything the New Balance say. I bought her a plane ticket out of state. I got me a shorty from Runaway. Said I'm in town today. She said she coming over and she down to stay. I got a hit, she been playing that shit. So when she pull up on me, I know what she about to say.
What's poppin'? Brand new whip, just hopped in. I got options, I can pass that bitch like Stockton. Just joshin', I'ma spend this holiday locked in. My body got rid of them toxins. Sports in the top 10.
Calling my bitch, tell her bring me that noggin. Brain real good, she a scholar. I like a thing with low mileage. Good brain with no college. Call me the baby, no Tyler. I'm real creative and stylish. F in my denim. I send that hit, make him spin him. And I just flew back from LA on the jet. Yesterday I go back and forth like I play tennis. I fuck with your hoe, yeah, I feel for it. Still on the Billboard, the number one song in UK. And now they got so fucking rich, all these songs on my dick. I said, don't give a fuck what you say.
I am going to say this. Everything on this docket is allegedly my money is for me. I said what I said. Everything on the docket, allegedly. Allegedly, allegedly, allegedly. We have recently lost Supreme Court Judge Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Wow. This is... It's sad. She lived a long life, but death is still sad. So we're going to take a moment of silence for an icon. All right, let's get into this week's docket. First item on the docket. I have not always been an Apple kind of nigga. For the most part, until I want to say 2016, I was always a Samsung Galaxy type of nigga from 2010 up until 2016. Then the phone started to overheat and explode, and that was my exit to leave Samsung. And then I went over to the other side, the Apple side, and I have been enthralled and entangled ever since. So I'm not going to say I'm an iPod, excuse me, I'm drunk. I'm not going to say that I am an Apple snob, but I enjoy my iPhone. So with that being said, iOS 14 recently dropped this past Thursday, and I understand where we're at. It's election season. We're in the middle of a pandemic. Escapism to things outside of those things are something that we all can clamor to. You know, in recent events, the iOS drop has been kind of the thing for September. So I was like, okay, you know, iOS 14, I'm here for. So I downloaded it Saturday or Sunday. I'm not impressed. I feel like this is the most anticlimactic. I feel like this is the most underwhelming release for Apple. And I'm just like, okay, can we do anything else when it comes to software updates for these devices? Is this it? Because I'm going to be honest, a lot of these things that are with this iOS 14 release are things that I was able to do on my Galaxy 4 plus years ago. And it makes me think, are we just going to be stagnant when it comes to software? Are we going to be stagnant when it comes to dropping new phones? And if iOS 14 is any indicator of what the iPhone 12, if they're using that name, is going to bring, or iPhone 11S, I don't know, but I'm not ready. I'm good. I don't even know if I want to upgrade my phone at this point because the software sucks, unless the phone is going to have dope specs. I might just sit this one out. I sat out the XS series because I was content with my 8 Plus. And unless the iPhone 12 gives me some different color variations or a bump up in the camera, and especially the front-facing camera, because, you know, I love a selfie, you know, to, you know, show off these great cheekbones. But I just don't know. Like, I may sit this out. Like, Apple, do better. Like, that's just my piece. Next item on the docket. If you guys aren't familiar with me, or you don't follow me on Twitter, make sure you go follow me on Twitter, at the John Effect, T-H-E-J-O-H-N-E-F-E-C-T. I have always said that Alicia Keys is one of my favorite female artists. So she dropped a new album titled Alicia. I checked it out for the most part. I was able to get into a few tracks. I didn't really get to sit down with it the way I wanted to. Show Me Love with Miguel, she dropped that single a few months ago. I instantly fell in love with that. I love a great Alicia Keys duet. The Fire We Make with Maxwell, Mr. Man with Jimmy Cozier. And then here's the thing, and this might be an unpopular opinion. I love Usher. I love Alicia Keys. I have always hated My Boo. I just don't like that song. But anyway, back to Alicia. So she's got the new album out. I'm going to eventually check it out. I'm eventually going to go to my nearest retailer and I'm going to purchase a physical copy of the CD because I'm 37. I'm an old school ass nigga. I'm antiquated. I'm set in my ways. I purchase albums and then I also purchase it on digital. I don't know. Whatever. I have the disposable income. I do what I want. So with this album, she had a song with Khalid and she dropped some other singles where I didn't really check them out. I'm definitely going to check this album out. So it's funny because, you know, she's on the promo trail for this album. And, you know, she had her hashtag Ask Alicia. So someone, and I thank them so much for this question, asked Alicia about Christina Aguilera. And you guys know, I am probably the biggest Christina Aguilera fan that each and every one of you listeners know, because I stand for Christina Maria Aguilera. So they asked her about collaborations, and then Alicia went on to, you know, speak about their collaboration for Impossible from Christina's sophomore album, Stripped. And it was stated by Alicia herself that she almost gave her record, If I Ain't Got You, to Christina Aguilera. And I was like, wow. Like, I was shocked because If I Ain't Got You is probably top four of my favorite Alicia Keys songs of all time. So to know that Alicia almost gave this to Christina kind of has my mind blown, because I'm like, Christina would have done an amazing job on this record, but it was meant for Alicia Keys. Alicia Keys also went on to say that her A&R said, no, stop the train, stop the press. We're not giving the song to Christina Aguilera. We're keeping it for ourselves. And it's just crazy how, you know, in this music industry, songs can go to different artists. I would have loved to see a duet with the two. I would have loved to see a remix. You know, I would love to see them, you know, duet on the song now, because they're actual label mates under RCA. But I don't know. I love Christina, I think this is a definitive Alicia Keys song. Let me know in the comments, live tweet me. What are your thoughts on this? It's interesting. It's quite interesting because, you know, Apples and Oranges Goodies from Sierra was supposed to be for Britney Spears, but that's apples and oranges, because Alicia Keys and Christina, top tier vocalist, Sierra, Britney, in the middle, whatever. Next item on the docket. I love comic books. A lot of you don't know that, but I do. I grew up watching comic books. I got into the MCU. I was late to the game. I'm going to be honest. I was super late to the game when it came to the MCU, because I had grown up being an X-Men, all of those spinoff titles. The Avengers was never on my radar. But I saw Black Panther in the theater. I saw Black Panther in the theater 5 times. It opened me up to wanting to watch what's next. So if it wasn't for Black Panther, I probably wouldn't be into the MCU. So shout out to Black Panther. Shout out to Ryan Coogler. Shout out to Chadwick Boseman. Those were proponents for me being into the MCU. So my favorite Avenger, I say this on Twitter all the time, Wanda Maximoff, sister to Lorna Dane, daughter to Magneto, Eric Leshner, has always been my favorite Avenger, hands down. Also the most powerful Avenger, according to me. Check out House of M. So WandaVision for Disney Plus has been in the works. It was announced, I want to say, last summer. It is finally being released, thank God, in 2020 amid all of the coronavirus shutdown. So the trailer dropped during the Emmys. This is fucking dope as hell. I fucking cannot wait. I already know I'm going to watch every episode of WandaVision at least 7 times, because why not? It's Wanda Maximoff and a little boyfriend. So, you know, I watched the trailer 17 times because I'm like, I'm ready, because it's going to be a minute before the MCU is back on the silver screen, and we don't even know where. COVID is just interesting. I don't feel comfortable going to a movie theater. And it's funny because I go to the grocery store at least once a week. I go to the gym 4 times a week. But sitting in a movie theater, I have a iffy feeling about. I don't know. Don't judge me. Judge a dick-sucking stepmoms. So WandaVision, I'm here for it. I will be live tweeting when the show drops. Our next item on the docket, Zendaya, congratulations. We're going to file this under Black Girl Magic. Zendaya has become the youngest, I hit the mic, my bad, has become the youngest winner for a lead actress in a drama at the Emmys. Like, that is dope. Like, I love the fact that we are celebrating this. The youngest, she beat out Laura Dern, she beat out Jennifer Aniston to take home the statue for lead actress. Now, I've never watched Euphoria. I have no plans on watching Euphoria. I love Zendaya. Shout out to her. Congratulations. This is a big thing. Also, huge shout out to Uzo Adobo, and I apologize if I mispronounced her name, as well as Kerry Washington and Regina King, also for snagging statues at this year's Emmy Awards. Black Girl Magic. And shout out to Uzo and Regina for mentioning Breonna Taylor's name during their acceptance speeches. I think that was dope as hell. And we're going to file our last item under the docket under, whew, I can't. House Mother Kanye was on Twitter doing the most, as he typically does. There's a video of him pissing on a Grammy. Yes, Kanye West was pissing on a Grammy on social media. Where is the class? Have some cool with Kanye Omari. Like, I'm just like, you. I've said this so many times. Kanye, I need you, my guy, to take a beat. I need you to sit out and take a sabbatical. And then he was going on and he took shots at Hit Boy, and you know, there was beef there because Hit Boy worked with Beyonce. And Kanye, focus on the business that pays you. Hit Boy working with Beyonce, I'm drunk. Hit Boy working with Beyonce ain't got shit to do with you, dog. Like, sit that out, relax, calm your titties on that. I'm gonna freshen up this cocktail. I'll be right back after the flippy. We're doing gold, silver, bronze, part trois. Check you guys in a sec. Run it to me real quick. I'll be going stupid for that. Ooh, la. Don't make me wait. I've been thinking about it all day. You know what I want. The second, the minute I'm home, it's ooh la. That's the only music that I wanna hear. Is ooh la. Get a little louder, scream it in my ear, yeah. Spin it round, let it bounce. Up and down, think we found something. Smack it, flip it, rub it down to the sound of for that ooh la. I wear my best tuxedo and you can undress me and we go ooh la. It's that time, guys. It's time for gold, silver, bronze. Let's get it. The category is Diva Showdown 2000s edition. This is part two of a three-part series for gold, silver, bronze. This week we are taking three singles from three artists that ruled the 2000s, and we are tasked with who gets our gold, who gets our silver, who gets our bronze. Our first contender for gold, silver, bronze, Beyonce with Naughty Girl, the fourth single from her debut album, Dangerously in Love, released March 14, 2004, produced by Scott Storch, peaked at number 3 on the Hot 100 and number 8 on the Hot R&B Hip Hop Songs. Our next contender, Alicia Keys with If I Ain't Got You, the second single from her sophomore album, The Diary of Alicia Keys. Released February 17, 2004, produced by Alicia Keys, peaked at number 4 on the Hot 100 and number 1 on the Hot R&B Hip Hop Songs. And last and certainly not least, Ciara with Like a Boy, the third single from her sophomore album, Ciara the Evolution. Released February 13, 2007, produced by Calvo the Great and The Clutch. Peaked at number 19 on the Hot 100 and number 6 on the Hot R&B Hip Hop Songs. So guys, we're tasked. Who gets your gold? Who gets your silver? Who gets your bronze? Let me know in the comments. Live tweet me, PodQB. Now, you guys are probably going to think I'm going to give Beyoncé my gold. Absolutely not. Where I love Beyoncé and I'm beehive, I'm drunk. I'm beehive all day, every day. I didn't become a beehive member until the Billboard Music Awards, I want to say when 4 dropped. So I think that was 2011. That's when my stan card activated for Beyoncé. I'd always been a casual listener. I wasn't the hugest Destiny's Child fan, but I understood Beyoncé was dope. But again, I was not in the hive. Like, Jay-Z is the reason that Beyoncé was really on my radar. And that's a stack. I'm keeping a stack at 100. So I'm giving my gold to Alicia Keys, If I Ain't Got You. There's a remix featuring Usher out there. I fucking love, like, the video, the visuals, the song, everything. Like, Diary is probably my second favorite Alicia Keys album. My first being As I Am. So I'm going to give a close bronze to Beyoncé, Naughty Girl, which featured Usher in the video. Like, I am still waiting for an Usher Beyoncé song because I feel like Usher is the male equivalent of Beyoncé. I need his team to realize that he's the male equivalent of Beyoncé. Usher is R&B royalty, is top tier. He is luxury R&B at its finest. But this isn't an Usher stan account right now, maybe later, but this is about the divas of 2000. So Beyoncé gets my silver, and by default, I'm giving my bronze to Ciara. We don't give Ciara her flowers enough. She has given us bops on bops. She's given us great singles. She's given us great album cuts. Like a Boy, my shit. Like, the beat goes hard. The video was great. Reggie Bush was in the video. I'm like, does Reggie Bush still play for the New Orleans Saints? I don't know. I'm a sports gay, but I'm basketball. I'll date the NBA players, but I'm going to watch the NBA. I'm sorry. I'll date the NFL players, but I'm going to watch the NBA, and I'm also going to date them too. Anyway, so guys, let me know in the comments, live tweet me, who gets your gold, who gets your silver, who gets your bronze. I'm back after the flip. I'm back with Gay Side Stories with Mr. Rain Coleman. Wait on it. Guys, your favorite two are back for a new rendition of Gay Side Stories. I got my mans back in the building with me. I'm going to let him take over.
What's up, y'all? This is Brian Coleman, the Carefree Black Nerd. Happy to be back with Gay Side Stories yet again. It's been a minute.
It has.
Jump off.
It's been a minute, but I'm glad that we have linked up because I'm going to be honest. I love when you and I link up. You're one of my favorite people in this community. I think the chemistry and the dynamic that you and I have had these last few years is dope, and I wouldn't trade that for the world. All right, so we're going to do a little conversation. You know, we're not going to get too heavy, but we're going to, you know, kind of talk about some things. So this segment, I wanted to really delve in a little bit to intersectionality. So let me ask you this question. What do you identify with first, being Black or being on the spectrum or within the community of the LGBTQ?
Kind of tricky because it's always Black, just like the default.
Right.
But I'm curious, it's not that equally to me, you can't separate them, but I would say just with different Christians, my Blackness first. But still, really, hell, you get the Blackness, you get every part of me. But with that initial meeting or that initial, like, I don't know, just like being around new people, it's always for me just the Blackness.
Right.
And then, yeah, everything else is kind of secondary.
So let me answer the question as well. So I'm with you 100%. And I've said this on my podcast before. I said this, you know, in real life. I've said this on the timelines. Mm-hmm. I've always identified with being Black and Latino first and foremost before anything else. I want to even say it, if we're going to do bullet points of what makes us up, the gay piece is 5, 6, 7 down the line. Like, to me, it's not something that defines me the way that my Blackness or me being Cuban defines me. It's one of those things that is there and I understand that's who I am, but I don't feel defined by my sexuality. How do you feel in that regard? Have you ever felt defined by your sexuality? And if you do, you know, I'm curious to know why.
Yes and no. So, like, for me, most people don't know. Thicker. So, if you, depending on what community you belong to, you know, white folks probably look threatening to them. But for us, like, we come in shape, sizes, different, all that, whatever. But for me, growing up, I was a slight kid for like a while. I was thin, bone thin, and short. Like, I had no growth spurt, that was that. So, that being said, like, going through certain stages in life, like my peers, I didn't do in the same way because of my queerness. So though I was visibly Black, I think my sexuality or lack thereof or whatever kind of took a front seat around like a lot of my childhood and a lot of like my preteen years because being a Black man and showing any signs of I'd rather draw bitches before throwing a ball, depending on the communities and the families around, that could be a bit toxic. So for me personally, it was always being Black, being an artist and all that good stuff. But the sexuality or the queer part was always kind of thrusted upon me depending on what adult I was around. It was like, oh, you know, boys don't fucking draw pictures.
Right.
They fucking, you know, throw a ball. So, and that is, I say, with both. But once I kind of got into my own, it was more like my Blackness, of course.
Right.
But that's just me.
Okay. No, I'm there with you. I definitely feel you on that. So let me ask you about this, because our community, and when I say our community, I'm talking about as a whole, the LGBTQ plus I community. We're not quite breaking it down for, you know, people of color. How do you feel about intersectionality in the community as a whole? And then we can kind of break that down within the Black and brown communities.
I think it's there. You can't escape it. You can't. Like, there's no way. Like, you could have some people who that you put heavy emphasis on, you know, lesbianism, being gay, being bi, whatever. But I think you can't really escape it, especially because a lot of us are not wealthy. We're not the 1%.
Right.
It's not like you're above the front. Like, every, what's the thing? Like, everybody has a different, or you aren't the same person with your friends as you are when you're at work, as you are when you're with your grandparents. Like, everything slightly changes. So I think within the community, there is this, I don't know to what degree, sometimes it's very apparent, sometimes it's not. Because I think, like, stereotypes or even people being extravagant on whichever end, being extremely flamboyant or extremely quote-unquote masculine, I think sometimes that usurps any idea of intersectionality where it's like, oh, that's the gay nigga, he is wearing a skirt, that's a deal, nigga, because he wears the tail.
Right.
But I think that it's a bit more, we got a bit more to offer. There's a bit more intersectionality there. But depending on which space you're in, I think you kind of get reduced to certain parts of yourself. And that's especially within our community as a whole.
Right.
And sometimes not even our fault, it's just other people the way they perceive it. But yeah, that's my long answer.
No, I agree. And I kind of want to put my own take on it, that I liken white cis hetero, or not hetero, white cis gay men have a privilege, and even their female peers, they have a privilege that they don't necessarily recognize. They recognize, oh yeah, I'm gay and this, that, and the third, and I'm out front and I'm proud and this, that, and the third, but they don't see other members of our community. They don't, and I linking it to, or liken it to, white feminists. You care about your agenda, and you care about the white piece of thing, but you don't care about the people of color. You don't care about the Jaquans and the Daquans and the Lamarcuses. All you're worried about is Biff and Brad. Like, that shit fucking irks me, and it's always been a pain point for me, you know, and why I don't really advocate more so for the community as a whole. And I really focus my attention on queer people of color, because I'm gonna keep it a buck, and maybe some people may be, you know, in their feelings about what I'm about to say, they don't really care about us. And that's fine. Like, my thing is if you don't care about us, stand in your shit, but don't act like you do care about us and you care about the whole community. You care about your lily white community. You don't care about us niggas, and that's fine. My thing is stand in your shit and own that, but don't front like you actually care. So that's why I've always been, I'm black well before the gay piece, because like this community just, it makes my skin crawl when it comes to that, because they feel, white gay men feel they are the face of the LGBT community. They feel that they are the default, and I'll be damned if I ever subscribe to that notion. And it's just like, and then let's kind of delve into, you know, the black and brown LGBT community. How do you feel being a member of this community? Do you, what are some highs and lows for you?
I don't know. I've been here for a while. I've been here for some decades, goddamn.
Right.
It's interesting. You know, I went traded just like being black. I went traded that. But it is, it's made for some interesting stories and interesting life experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And every day or every phase, I don't know. It's, all right, so me being in my 30s is very different than me being in my 20s and going through life, and then being in my teen years and being a young kid. And I've learned so much about myself and about others from black, well, for everyone, but from black people specifically. And there's nothing like a mentor or having someone. Okay, let me walk this back. I feel like I'm all over the place.
No, you're good.
When you are not cishet, everything you do is kind of under a microscope. So if there's a little boy who's a bit more feminine, and there's a little girl who's a bit more tomboy, folks are looking at you wrong. Folks are going to pick you apart.
They are, and that's sad.
Yes, like with a fine-tooth comb. And then when you get to certain stages in your life, you being kind of molded by your experiences and by the way people are perceiving you, so you don't get the same, like, lines of puberty like others. Like, you don't get go to high school, go to college, husband, wife, 2.5 kids. Like, you don't have that same trajectory. And being black and queer and existing in this space where it's like you're always kind of coming out, even when you're not coming out. No matter how masculine or effeminate you are, or no matter how many accolades you got. You can got 400 degrees and you drive the best car in town. When somebody meets you, it's always, oh, I know that nigga gay, or it's, right. Oh, I didn't know you were gay. Like, that's this whole, this, all this fanfare around it. That
right, like, why?
Heterosexual counterparts do not get. And being in this space with predominantly black and brown people, like, my entire life, and then when I go to other places, like if I went to a white club or something for the first time, I'm seeing the difference in the relationships, the body language, the way people date, the way people, you know, have attitudes with each other. And being black and being queer, being in this space, something I wouldn't change. I wouldn't trade for nothing. But I've had some very specific bumps and bruises with meeting people, meeting friends, going out on trips. I'm kind of at a loss for it because that feels like a question that I'm going to need so much more time to get into. I know I'm going to win it, so I'm sorry. But it's a piece of work. It's with ups and downs. It's throughout the course of one day, I can be shitty as hell and angry and upset. But I don't know. I'm not trading it. Let me stop.
No, you're good. You're good. If you could say one thing to, air quote, the default, the, you know, the cis white men in our community, what would you say to them?
Leave me the fuck alone, man. Like, I know, and I'm tired of holding white folks' hand. I'm tired of, like, in our communities, but specifically ours. It's like, it shouldn't. You need to know what you're doing. Like,
right.
White men, y'all know what y'all doing. And even the folks who call themselves allies in the community feel like, damn, you take your privilege.
Thank you.
But there's only so much. Now, if it's a young white kid, whatever, say, hey, why is it? But these grown-ass folks, y'all know what the fuck you're doing. With the fetishizing, with the dehumanizing, with the slick-ass comics, with the privilege that you exude by being white, which is, gay or not, nigga, you is white first. You do yourself under that privilege. I would say, just back the fuck up, take the privilege, and leave us the fuck alone. Because half the time, we not even taking for you niggas. And for those of us who are, deal with them accordingly. Because it's not roles of us running to you for your approval, for your space. It's not. So, take the privilege and mind your fucking business. Better. Black queers business.
No, exactly. I'm gonna keep mine real simple, real Salvatore. Like, stop saying that you have an inner black woman living inside of you. That is my biggest pet peeve, is white gays always emulating or always trying to embody, in an air quote, a sassy black woman. Like, could you be more original? And it made me think of that episode, what was it, the finale of Insecure with the guy on the bus with Kelly. That shit made my blood boil. I hate that narrative. Like, I remember an old job maybe 10, 12 years ago, I had a coworker. He was cool. Like, he was a coworker. And we, you know, went out casually, you know, to happy hours and shit. And that shit, I'm like, at that point, I never said anything to him. I just would just nod and just like, whew, this motherfucker right here. Like, that shit irks. It's irksome when you are in that. Like you're facing it face to face opposed to seeing it, you know, through a different lens. Have you ever experienced that?
Oh, for sure. Being in Michigan, being in Florida, being in Georgia, being in Texas, and I've met people, all communities, whatever, but white people seem to be very consistent with them split-ass comments. There's a guy who I work with now today. I don't know his sexuality, but that aside, when we first met, it's like, I'm not making any excuses for him. I think at some level, he probably wasn't even like, oh, I'm going to just be blatant racist, but then he came back and was. He said a few comments and a few jokes where I had to kick to his ass, and for him, it was like, oh, well, it was just a joke. I'm like, nigga, the fact that you bring it, you coming to me with a very racially specific joke that you go out and tell your white homegirls and homeboys from Utah, but you coming to me with this shit, that speaks volumes. What the fuck did you, how did you fit to be responsible? So yeah, no, I've experienced that in every fucking place I've lived and damn near every job I've had. These white folks, they don't, especially these gay white folks who, like you said, think they got an inner black person. Like, nigga, like some niggas on TikTok too. If you can't do a comedy bit without having a black sin or emulating a black woman or a stereotypical black person, are you even funny?
It's not. It's lame and it's whack. And that's why I have adopted, I'm here to work. I'm not here to be y'all friend. I'm not here to make chit chat. I'm not here for the small talk. Do you have those reports ready? Bada bing, bada boom. Keep it at that. No, we don't need to follow each other on social media. You know what? I don't have a Twitter. I don't have a Facebook. Leave me the fuck alone. But my last thing before we wrap up, and I kind of want to piggyback on what you mentioned earlier with, you know, your description of, you know, you growing up, colorism in our community. Have you ever felt the brunt of that?
Oh, for sure. Again, I'm the dark-skinned black dude. Yes. Yeah. Okay. This when I was younger. It was, I don't want to compare my experience directly to, like, black women.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing that came to mind, but I don't want to do that. I do want to mention it because, of course, black women get the brunt of all colors, both, whatever.
Right.
But that being said, I'm just a dark-skinned kid against slight, artsy type, around all these, like, I don't know, aggressive, overly masculine, alpha male type people. It was a bit much. And then even getting into the queer realm of things with meeting, not even for romantic involvement, but just meeting people, being around different people, I could see the difference in the treatment from my light-skinned counterparts to myself. Right. Even in my own family, my cousins who were your complexion and lighter, Shamar Moore's color is dead versus myself. So it's something that I've been dealing with my entire life.
Right.
And get into the gay community, LGBTQIA+, all that shit, it is not any better.
You're right. Opinion, no. But have you noticed, and maybe this is just an observation because I'm there with you, like, for the most part, for the better part of, you know, me being out in the community, light skin has always been the desired complexion. Everyone wants a light skin boyfriend with curly hair. I'm just saying. But I feel like we've tried, the community or the office at least, they've tried to swing the pendulum the other way that, oh, it's all about chocolate. It's all about dark-skinned men. And you see all this, you know, the smoke and mirrors on the timeline and social media that dark-skinned men are winning, blah, blah, blah. Do you feel that's real? Or do you feel that's people just trying to, you know, change the tide a little bit?
I think it's both. To what degree of one over the other, I think it varies. Because, like, think of us in our generation. We may not have the exact same life experience, but we're about the same generation.
Right.
Then you have these kids now who are the, I'll say, TikTok generation. But they're able to go to these homecomings with their same gender partner or their non-binary partner. They're accepting socially in a way that our community didn't have that same level.
The hell mouth would have opened up if in my day when I was in high school and it was prom time to even be out to be out was one thing. To be out in the late 90s, early 2000s was a huge deal, and it came with so much hate. To add to that, you being with another nigga and a prompt, absolutely fucking not. You got shot.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. So, you know, to your point, I think that it is changing, and I think it's to a point now where, hell, we're a global community at this point. Yeah, you have your very specific, I'm from D.C., I'm from Atlanta, I'm from New York type of deal. But if a motherfucker at 12 years old can, I don't know, write a note to this nigga across the hall and everybody's like, nobody bats as high as that, or you can have a motherfucker that has a TikTok or a YouTube with their boyfriend or girlfriend, I think things are changing. The colorism aspect, because I have older, grown, a lot of that shit, the don't affect me the same way.
Right, I'm with you.
I'm going to just assume that it's changed. It's changed for the better, but, you know, that light, you got the complexion for the connection. That light skin person is still there front of it. I think it is. Things are changing.
Well, that wraps up our segment for Gay Side Stories. Mr. Coleman, let the listeners know, if they already don't know, let them know where they can find you.
All right. Well, what's up, y'all? I am Ray Coleman. Please follow me on Twitter, Carefree Blur. That is the most immediate way to get in touch with me. Instagram, all of the social media, Carefree Black Nerd. Shows going up every Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, every day. Check me out.
All right, so we will be back. We are back on track. We will be back next month for a new take on a different topic. It's crazy because me and Rain talking through today's episode, I'm thinking of little things that we can kind of do an offshoot of this and have this be another segment. But until next time, we will see you guys later. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Guys, this pretty much wraps up episode 194. Like, nigga, I'm 6 episodes away from the huge milestone that is 200 episodes. Like, 200 episodes is wild, especially as a solo podcaster. The only solo podcaster that really matters that's done over 200 episodes is the king, Jay of Just Say Words. So to be able to follow in his footsteps and, you know, stroll into episode 200, I am super excited to do so. I don't know of any solo gay podcasters that have achieved this feat. So I'm excited to, you know, cross the threshold to hit 200 and 200 plus. But I couldn't do this show if you guys didn't support. And I am forever grateful and I'm forever thankful for you guys for checking me out. You guys don't have to do so, and you've done so for the better part of 4.5 years. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Huge shout out to my brother in podcasting, my ace, my friend, Rain Coleman. Like, that is the guy, like the king. Also, thank you, Drama Dupree, for everything that you've done, for being who you are. If you did not crawl, myself, the Rain Colemans of the world, the Kevin Duanes of the world, you know, countless other gay queer podcasters could not do what we do if you didn't open a door for us. There's me, your host, John Preston Salvatore. Again, follow me on Twitter. Follow me on Instagram. I said that at the top of the show. Do so. Your support means so much to you, and I will make sure that I'm checking your stuff out as well, because I love hard and I love authentically. Go over to Apple Podcasts, subscribe to the show, write a review, rate the show 4 or 5 stars. I will be back next week. Yes, I will be back next week for episode 195. The countdown to 200 begins now officially. I'll see you, sweet lovers of liberty, next time. Bye, guys. Bye-bye.
Oh, guess who's driving the 500 like yippee-yi, yippee-yo, yay. When I talk smack, y'all better skip back, like here we go, cause the don't play.
Well, y'all look so good.